Lesson is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 146. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes and mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked the Lord brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
We are continuing on in our sermon series, Heroes and Heroines of the Faith, and this morning we'll be focusing on the relationship between Naomi and Ruth. I'll be reading this morning from Ruth chapter 1, the first 19 verses. Listen now for God's word to and for us. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. And she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." And they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said to Naomi, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, even if death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Gracious and loving God, you are ever present, always with us. We pray, O Lord, that you would open us to hear what you would say through the power of your Holy Spirit to each one of us and to us communally as your church. May your word take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, I am Naomi, and I am a daughter of Abraham and also a daughter of the covenant. I lived in Israel during the time of the judges. That was the time after our people had crossed over the Jordan River and entered into the promised land, but before the reign of King David. I was born in Bethlehem, where I was raised as a child, and it was there that I met my beloved husband, Elimelech. Those were such happy years, and my given name, Naomi, which means sweet, was fitting for me because it was such a sweet time in my life. Life was good. I was married to someone that I loved, who was also a good provider, and we had two wonderful sons, Mahlon and Chilion. I thought that our good fortune would last forever, but our lives changed the instant famine struck. We were forced to move away from our home, just like our ancestors, like Abraham and Jacob, had to do one time in their life when they were faced with the realities of famine. And so we left Bethlehem, which ironically means house of bread. It was so hard to leave the only home that I had ever known. And if it hadn't have been for our children, I might not have gone. Because the move was difficult, both physically and also spiritually. The only place that we knew of where there was food was in Moab. It was some 50 miles away from us and east of the Jordan River. The trip was hot and dusty by day and cold by night. Our journey included miles of very steep terrain, and it took us 10 long days to get there and 10 cold nights. Because the Moabites were descendants of Lot's relationship with one of his daughters, you can read about that in Genesis 19, we thought that we were better than they were, and we didn't want anything to do with them. We had heard that the Moabites were an inhospitable people, that they called down curses on strangers and on travelers. And although we were ashamed to go there, we were starving, and we had no choice. When we arrived, though, rather than cursing or rejecting us, the Moabites welcomed us with open arms. There was plenty to eat there. And in time, Moab became our home. Once again, all was right with the world until that horrible morning when I woke up and discovered that my beloved Elimelech had died in his sleep. The grief of his passing was eased only in the knowing that he lived on in our two sons. And when they took Moabite wives, there was joy in our life and hope. I had hoped that they would have children and I would be a grandmother, but 10 long years passed and it was not to be. That disappointment would have been enough, but the sword that pierced my own soul was the unexpected death of my sons. That was the worst time in my life. I just sat and stared for days upon days. I didn't eat. I didn't sleep much. And I didn't change my clothes. The pain of losing my husband had been absolutely devastating. But the pain of losing not only one child, but both of my children was more than I could bear. And I was frightened. I didn't know what would become of me in my old age with no one to care for me. A woman in my time without a man, whether that was a husband or a son or a brother or someone like that, was considered to be familyless. This was not the way that my life was supposed to be. Elimelech and I were supposed to grow old together. We were supposed to be surrounded by our grandchildren. I had little to live for. Everything that mattered to me had been taken. My home and my extended family, and then my husband, and then our children. The God that I once worshiped seemed far away and uncaring. How could God do this to me? When I heard that the famine was over, I in Bethlehem, I decided that the only thing that I could do was to return home. Perhaps some of my relatives might have pity on me. After all, the law of Moses said that we were to care for the stranger and the orphan and the widow, and I was a widow. When I left Moab, my daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, they followed me. But I couldn't allow them to do that. They were still young and still beautiful. They had their whole lives ahead of them. They could marry again and still have families. They could start over. There would be nothing in Bethlehem for two Moabite women but contempt. And so I sent them back to their mother's homes. Now Orpah, she listened to reason, and how relieved I was when she turned and went back to live with her mother. But Ruth was a stubborn one, and she clung to me. And frankly, I had no more energy to discuss it or to fight with her anymore. And so she continued on with me to Bethlehem. When we finally reached Bethlehem, I was only a former shell of myself, and I could hear the women of Bethlehem whispering behind me, "Is that Naomi? And who is that foreigner with her?" I said to them, "Call me Naomi no longer, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has returned me empty." You see, Mara means bitterness, and I was the most bitter woman in all of Israel. But you know, my story is not unique. My story, in some fashion, is your story too, because every life has good times and bad times. Times when the familiar is replaced by the unfamiliar and the unexpected. Times when we find ourselves living a life that is very different than the one we had imagined for ourselves. There are times of bitterness, and in your own time, war dislocates millions who seek safety, peace, and a sense of home. Natural disasters and famines do the same, and I understand there are still many people in the world in your time that are still dying of starvation. Life doesn't stay long the same for very long, and the events of our lives continually upset our equilibrium. A spouse dies, and we must decide where our future home will be. Will we carve out a new way of living where we are, or where will we move? Will we move closer to family, perhaps, or will we marry again? A child or a loved one dies or moves away, and our very identities are threatened and changed. And there are times of sweetness, like graduations and change and jobs that are wanted and a marriage and the birth of children and the season of retirement. Each season of life, the bitter and the sweet, has its own dislocations of one sort or another, where we must ask ourselves who we are and where we belong. Throughout the many seasons of life, God's love, however, remains constant. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's mercies and steadfast love endure forever. Seasons come and go, as does our faithfulness. But God is always faithful, and God's love for us is eternal. Just like me, you are God's beloved, and you are an heir of the covenant. Sometimes God's love instructs us through dreams. That was the experience for Joseph and for Jacob. Other times, God speaks to us through miraculous events, like when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. But most of the time, I believe that God comes to us in ordinary human beings who offer the ministry of presence. After my husband and children died, I thought I was all alone, but I was wrong. God gave me Ruth. That day on the journey from Moab to Bethlehem, when she refused to turn back, Ruth said to me, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you die, I will die. Your God will be my God. And where you are buried, I will be buried." Ruth was true to her word. She cared for me, and I cared for her. The rest of our story can be found in chapters 2-4 of the book of Ruth. We clung to each other to create, with God's help, a future with promise. Taking my advice, Ruth found a husband. She married Boaz, a kind man who was related to my husband, Elimelech. And Ruth gave birth to a son. The women of Bethlehem no more longer whispered and stared at me and at Ruth. Instead, they said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may God's name be renowned in Israel. God shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." They helped me to understand how God had been with me all along, working through Ruth. And you know, they were right. Ruth had been more to me than seven sons, and through her marriage to Boaz, we had been redeemed. Imagine that. God working through two women who had no social standing in that time in history. And Ruth was not only a woman, but she was also a foreigner, and a despised foreigner at that, a Moabite. Even so, Ruth's baby boy, Obed, became the great-great-grandfather of King David, from whose line Jesus Christ came. Take it from a woman who has lived through good times and bad times, through feast and through famine. Life is truly bittersweet. Our circumstances may change for better or for worse. And even when it seems like we've lost everything, God is still there, loving us and helping us to pick up the pieces. Most often, through other people that God puts in our paths. Who is God blessing you with right now? And who is God calling you to bless? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you go out into your week today, this day, and every day, remember that Christ goes with you. Christ goes in front of you to guide you. Christ goes behind you to protect you. Christ goes under you to support you. And Christ walks beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. In Jesus' name, and all people said, at home or in the sanctuary, amen.